government of God is this internal relationship with the Holy Spirit. It would be easier to lead as an old covenant pastor or an old covenant leader than it is to lead as a new covenant pastor or a new covenant leader or a new covenant parent. Because in old covenant, you just give law. And law is clean. Law is neat. Law is clear. This is what law says. Unfortunately, with law, there's always an external view and an interpretation of what the law says. And so in that, it may look clean, but it probably gets it wrong. Because the law is a shadow of the good thing to come, so it should result in something of a testimony of love. But law cannot change us, so we cannot govern. We cannot embrace a government of law, including new covenant biblical principles. That can be law by itself. So the Holy Spirit is the power of Christ's government in the church, the power of Christ's government in our lives. And so God comes as that source. So in Isaiah 11, verses 1 and 2, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. Now Jesse was King David's father. King David was a type and shadow of Jesus Christ, who would come as the King of Kings, as David was the king of the kingdom of Israel, which was a shadow of what the external expressions of the kingdom of God should look like. So there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now, I believe that the rod or the shoot is Jesus, a man full of grace and truth. The branch is Jesus Christ, whom Jesus, the shoot, became known as after he received the mantle of his inheritance at the baptism of John. The Holy Spirit came upon him without measure, and he then walked in an external testimony of the things that were real internally in him, and he demonstrated that external power by casting out devils, raising the dead, healing the sick, many supernatural things, multiplying bread and raising the dead. And so he proved to be not only Jesus, but Jesus Christ and the body of Christ. So at the end of his life, he proved to be Jesus Christ, Christ the head and Christ the body. And he gave his life. He shed blood 7 times. The final place that he shed blood was after he gave his spirit up. They pierced his side, and from his side, blood and water came onto the ground. And I believe that was significant of a spiritual rib being removed from this eternal Adam, which then would be Eve, formed from that, from the nations of the earth, the body of Christ. Eve would be formed from what was formerly dust, would now become every tribe, tongue, people, and nation as the body of Christ. And so that was the branch. Jesus had told his disciples in John 15, he had said, I am the vine, you are the branches. So I believe in Isaiah 11, the rod that comes forth from the stump is the born again grace and truth reality of the salvation of Jesus. And the branch is us being formed as Christ. Okay. And as we're formed as Christ, then upon this place, head and body, verse 2 of Isaiah 11, is the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge or knowing, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. There's 7 spirits, which I believe are really 7 aspects to one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that rests, that abides, that rests upon this body of Christ, the head, Jesus, and the body of Christ. And this is where the government comes. And so this is the source. God is the source of this government. And the government comes from this Holy Spirit that rests in and upon the body of Christ. And so God is the source of this government. And the government must be upon the shoulders of the believer. So what rests upon the head and the shoulders is the government of God, being the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowing, like intimacy, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. So the government rests upon the shoulders. We have evidence of this through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. One translation says authority has settled on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So the government rests upon his shoulders. Now, I believe the government is the headship of Jesus Christ that rests upon the shoulders, like we talked about in our first sessions when we talked about the fox has a den, the bird has a nest, and the Son of Man was looking for a body to put his headship on. That's the government of God. So as a leader, a pastor, or a leader of some kind in the church, apostolic to the church, I am not the government of the church. I can be a voice that inspires the government, but every single believer is responsible to carry the, to embrace the headship of Jesus Christ, the headship of the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of the Lord that leads to the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowing, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord in their life. It increases. Isaiah the prophet says in verse 7 of chapter 9, of the increase of his government and peace there'll be no end. Upon the throne of David, over his kingdom, order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. From what time forward? From the time a child was born and a son was given. Now, a child was born is Jesus my Savior. A son was given is Jesus my want to, Jesus my Lord. I think a child is born, a born again experience allows me to see this, a child is born. I think the gift of Jesus is enough to get me to heaven. But I don't believe that the gift of Jesus, the Savior, is enough to get heaven in me. I believe that Jesus, the Savior, opens the door for me then to receive Jesus the Lord. And that's not just the Spirit of the Lord. There's no end to the increase of this government. It begins with the Spirit of the Lord, a want to, a desire, but then it grows the Spirit of wisdom, faith toward God, the Spirit of understanding, response toward God, submersion in God, being transformed, a testimony of God. It increases to the Spirit of counsel, light to darkness, life to death, authority, being a life giver, being a light as our Father is light. We have one Father. It grows to an increase of Spirit of might, resurrection from the dead, one God above all, that I'm defeating things that are dead by the power of resurrection life. I'm a contributor bringing something of Christ to my world. It grows and increases to intimacy, fellowship, not fellowship, but it grows from to intimacy, to the ability to allow my life to be broken, to be bread, to drink wine. The life of the Spirit is the community, communion, come to union, come to unity, community, communion with one another as the body of Christ, which grows to awe of God, fear of the Lord, one God in through me and one God in me now, one God in me that I live for the children and the children's children. This is all the government of God. There's no end to the increase of this government and of this peace. So it's from the time a child was born, from the time a son was given, there's been no end to the increase of his government or peace. So this is a non-negotiable in my life. If I'm going to come to you as an apostle, a sent one to you, I'm going to have this in my mind that I'm trying to help you be empowered by the government of God. But I am not the government. I'm an expression. I'm someone who's sent to help you to be obedient to the faith, to embrace this government, this headship of Jesus on your life. If I come to you apostolically as a pastor, I'm saying, Pastor, you have to do the same thing with your people. You have to allow them to embrace, empower them, help them, be a sent one to them that helps them be obedient to the faith, to embrace the headship of Jesus, not only as the desire, but as wisdom and understanding and counsel and might and knowing and awe or fear of the Lord. There's an increase of this government. So the government of God rests upon Christ's shoulders. Every individual, I would say this also as parents, you have to raise your children this way. So the government of God rests upon Christ's shoulders, and the government of God is life-giving government. The government of God is a ministry of life, not instruction. That doesn't mean we don't give instruction, but what's the purpose in giving instruction? We give instruction so that people can hear God in their hearts and receive the transformation that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit within them. Obedience to the faith. Faith comes by hearing. Faith frames worlds. Faith works through love. Faith is not obedience to a belief system. Faith is a change of believing that changes actions, that changes imaginations, that changes influence. So the government of God is both in the body as the Holy Spirit abiding in the body, but it's also an expression of headship. So there is a dimension of this in the government of God that is an external voice, which is what we have in the believers as leaders, pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. There is an aspect of the external voice that helps us come to this place of embracing the government of God in our lives. It has to be new covenant. And again, I believe that much of the church does these things very often in an old covenant way. We embrace new covenant realities in an old covenant way, and that does not work well. We need to learn to embrace these things in a new covenant reality. So I believe that the body of Christ is a theocracy. I'm going to explain a theocracy. A theocracy, theo as in God is God. It's a government by God in our lives. That's a theocracy. Now, I believe that there are five expressions that can articulate the government of God. The expressions, how do we hear God and come to faith? Now, these are non-negotiables in my life by principle, but they're not non-negotiables in my life by method. I'm sure there are many methods by which you could come to experience these, but I'm not going to go to war over methods, but I will give my life, sacrifice my life for the values, the treasures of what these things are. And so in a theocracy, I'm going to state that there are five expressions in my life, in my family, in my congregation, in the bigger picture of congregations together. And so I would define these things as the first one is apostolic, some external sent authority that keeps me connected to the big picture and sends me forward in a global plan or bigger than. And so in a family, there's got to be some sort of an external voice that comes to me that helps me identify the internal voice that makes it so that I am not just raising a family that is totally different than any family of the planet, but it's in agreement with what families should be on the planet. So there's some sort of an apostolic voice. In a local congregation, there should be an external sent authority that is ascending authority that keeps us connected to the global picture. What is God doing in the earth? What he's doing in one place, he's going to be doing in many places. Jesus said, when I come, every eye sees me. I don't believe that that means every eye sees him because he returns in the Middle East and there's a television screen showing it so we can see it. I believe it's true in every aspect of his coming. When he comes, whatever he's doing in one place, he's doing in many places. And so he's doing it all over the planet. And so there's got to be an external voice that helps us be connected in the bigger picture. I believe that's called apostolic leadership. So who are the ones who are sent into my life to help me be connected into a bigger picture than just me? Which means those are going to be voices that are going to challenge my thinking to think beyond where I would think, just at a local level. Second input is called what I call prophetic counsel. There's the voice of a prophet, being able to see what hasn't been seen before, not just being sent apostolically, but being able to be a life giver to see what hasn't been seen before, prophetic counsel. What is God saying prophetically? Now, I believe that this has got to be an external voice to the church, but also in the church. There are prophetic voices that come. What is God saying? Now, prophets don't make good pastors. Because prophets see things that haven't been seen before, so they tend to see things that haven't been seen. This is me. I'm very prophetic. I'm apostolic, prophetic apostolic. So I can be dangerous as a pastor because I'm always seeing things that haven't been seen before. So I have a place, I have a role, but we need a little pastoral help to be able to eat the grass that's growing and not always move to fields that have never been seen before. So prophetic counsel is good, but it can tend to make us discontent with what we have. But there should be a prophetic voice. We'll talk more about this in a future lesson and how this practically works in a local church setting. But I believe there should be a prophetic voice, something that helps me hear beyond what I'm hearing, not just hear what God's doing globally, but hear new things that haven't been seen, heard, or thought before.